And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast that does not know the difference between Norway and Sweden, nor does it care. Ow, I just hit my freaking head.
Number 72, he's live
right
from the parking lot at Douglas Motorcycles in San Bernardino.
Douglas Triumph. Lots of cool looking Triumphs up in
here. Yeah, they got other brands too. I forget which other ones also.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, one of those looks like an Agusta.
Triumph is the main thing. They're
British
and whatever. We're actually in my trailer to hopefully drown out the freeway noise and if people come by revving bikes and all. But you guys are used to us doing this raw.
Right. And there's my dog here, Little Man, is monitoring things carefully. He will be our two-minute board at the end of this podcast. Why are we talking about... Oh, I know why we're talking about Norway and Sweden.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was hysterical. We have a listener who actually called us
and corrected me
on a mistake.
Yeah, this is the first one. Does that mean we've been right about everything so
absolutely.
Far?
Absolutely. We've been absolutely correct. We'll even on the stuff we disagree on, we're still right compared to the rest of the world. I made a reference to a bad horror movie because the only thing worse than zombies is Nazis, and somebody went, you know what, why don't we combine the two, and they made a movie, the horrible thing called Dead Snow. The horrid thing about this is not only did I make a mistake and mix up Norway and Sweden, which I really don't care about as long as you keep exporting supermodels, I'm happy with that, okay? Number two, the really terrible thing is that the movie was so bad and got so much notoriety that apparently they have funding to do a sequel.
So the real name was what?
Dead Snow.
But it was really about
Nazi zombies. Yeah, Nazi zombies.
No, but the email said that you mixed up Norway and Sweden.
Right.
So which way is it really?
I don't know. Okay. It's Scandinavia to us.
What color is my hair? What color is my skin?
What difference?
What nationality do I look like?
This is my point.
I am Norwegian and Swedish.
This is actually my point. You know, from a distance, it doesn't matter. One of my students, she was from Sweden, actually was talking about the discrimination against slightly redheaded people there. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
So, I used to wear...
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
Mechanics pants
right.
to work at Wheels Hawaii when I was working at the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tuck them into my boots to ride to work because it rains every day. And so your feet are going to get wet.
Right.
And it keeps the pants dry. Well, that would make the pants puffy.
Okay.
And then the owner of the store, of the shop, was a Jewish New York guy.
Okay.
Right? Classic stereotype guy.
Stereotype,
right?
Got it.
Anyway, somehow the joke got going from one of the mechanics. So we were going to make a movie where we had Nazis on motorcycles lassoing Jewish guys.
Probably not far off with this movie, right?
Hey, so Randy
I'm not quite done.
Okay.
Okay, so if somebody had never
seen... I tried
and
to distract
is, you know
him
what, but
him.
It's...
I'm sorry.
There's nothing...
I keep failing.
There's
I'm sorry.
There's nothing he could do. I don't even blame Ed for this. If somebody had never seen a sport bike before, can you imagine trying to explain to them the difference between a CBR 600 and an R6?
So technology, significantly advanced, is indistinguishable from magic.
And from a distance, two stars look pretty much alike, don't they?
Yep.
That's my point. Anyway, Redding and Miller.
So we're not talking about Miller Raceway Park. We're talking about the racer named Miller.
Jack Miller. Who, by the way,
was having a tough weekend.
What do you know about this weekend so far? You saw yesterday?
I watched all of yesterday. I won't see anything of today until I get home, of course.
Okay.
But he got high-sided.
Fractured.
Like the kind of crash where we haven't seen that very often. Used to be fairly common in the two-stroke day.
Right.
Now it's pretty rare. And so the fast turn two left right-hander, you just, shing! The kind of thing where, like, the cameraman can't follow him. You're
right?
Like, oh!
Ooh, this isn't going to be good when they catch up.
Oh, and you know what? Uh-huh. I saw a Facebook post last night. Somebody showed a picture of Marquez's crash at the last turn onto the front straightaway. Classic Marquez.
Right.
Tuck the front. And the caption was, ha-ha.
Nice.
So I said, ha ha, question mark, that's bad karma. I mean, where is it okay to be happy that somebody crashed?
Remember,
I mean,
but
wrong,
this is supposedly
folks.
The entertainment factor, right?
We dumb
down the electronics so people crash more, and people like that.
Stupid people like that.
Yeah. There's a lot
of stupid people on Facebook.
Oh.
Like, I think most of them are normally smart people in person. Right? In person, no one would ever go up to some guy and laugh at him right after he crashed. But on Facebook, they feel licensed to just let out their inner lizard brain or something.
Disinhibitation is what we call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, oh, this person doesn't know who I am. They're
it's
not going to find me.
It's college degree talking.
Yeah,
yeah. Some fancy-ass fucking name for asshole.
Disinhibitation. By the way, speaking of, what was I going to say? Marquez and crashing and...
I will say it is awesome to watch Marquez be the old Marquez again.
Oh, you know what?
He's trying hard.
That's what I was going to say. He really needs to be, he needs to shut up. And I mean this in a good way. Did you read his interview post post first day of practice? Oh my God, I feel like I could ride that bike now. He went into incredible detail about what he's doing on the bike.
I can tell you from experience that telling your competitors exactly what you do and what they should do helps them not at all. They just refuse to try it over and over and over again. And also, the thing is, Lorenzo's not going to switch to Marquez's style.
No, Lorenzo's
not going to work on...
But I will tell you that the Hondas did a hell of a lot better in FP3 this morning than they did yesterday.
Well, if they did a hell of a lot better than yesterday, Marquez was already half a second faster. It's like somebody looked inside of his brain and go, let's just build this track for this guy, right?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
He doesn't even look that fast.
No.
Right?
No.
He is more calmed down than last year.
But, no, I don't know about calmed down. I really don't, because did you see him backing that thing into turn one in Argentina?
Yeah, but
holy crap.
No, I'm talking about yesterday. Everybody was beyond their normal wiggly. Right? Lorenzo crashed in Argentina, right?
Right.
If the rest of us, we probably couldn't have walked on that racetrack, right? It would be
they're
like
so
ice.
Slick.
Right? So you can't count that. What I'm saying is when Marquez goes to Texas, Coda, right?
Circuit of the Americas.
It's like he can't fall down, right?
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Anyway,
it was
so
amazing.
Yeah, Redding was not happy with Miller.
That was great
it's
because
a
you never
see over exuberance, right?
But you never see that kind of language come from a guy who's on the record. What do you think about your competitor? Well, I believe that. What did Casey once famously say about Valentino? His ambition outweighed his talent.
Something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's Redding. The guy's a fucking idiot! He's a fucking idiot! Did you get that on the record? Fucking idiot! It's like, wow! You just don't see that.
Well, you know, I mean, it was great that he felt like he had a shot. There was less grip and that played.
Yeah.
The other guys were being careful and all that. But it's like Iannone, you got to balance that with the freaking world, right?
Boy.
At the end of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
Okay, at the end of your season, it's pretty important how many championship points you have.
Yeah.
And if you just chuck it down the road because you think you can get one more position, that's bad for you. And then you're definitely disrupting the other guy, which, hey, you know what? It's the fucking race, dude. I'm sorry if the guy was racing as best as his ability and it messed you up. Maybe you should have got a better start or whatever.
Right.
Okay, fine. But Miller crashed, what, 4 times at Argentina?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, the bodywork guys, they love that shit. But you can only carry so many spare sets to
you
a given race, right?
And it's also, really, are you really going to race somebody that hard for 47?
Exactly. How about you slow, settle down and learn something?
Yeah.
Save that shit for the last lap.
Or the next.
What happened
or the next
between?
Race.
What happened between the satellite, the green bikes?
The green bikes.
Smith and Espargo. What's their team?
Oh, the Tech 3.
Tech 3 and one of the Ducatis, I guess, both ran off the track on the last lap or something.
I didn't even notice.
I didn't see it.
So
I saw one
back.
Of them gesturing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Tech 3 is struggling.
So,
really
Circuit of Wales, bad plan. Now what happened?
Oh, yeah, no. Did they? The government refused to back the funding for it.
So have they started work?
No.
Oh, well then, good.
Yeah,
so
it's
no problem.
It's just one of those things. Well,
better to not have it than to have a half-finished track, right?
But it's one of those things that just like the Argentina, and that's why I thought about it.
Right.
Argentina, they built this track in the middle of nowhere, hoping people would come. They are staying away in droves.
You know the thing, the movie, right? If you build it, they will come.
Right.
That's baseball, people.
And it's a movie.
America.
And it's a movie.
But it is based on the fact that millions of people love baseball.
Right.
You
right.
Know?
So you got
and,
a shot.
Right. And that is a great movie. It is a great
is
story.
It?
But
yeah.
But it doesn't work for motorsports.
Dude, how long did it take?
Way.
We we're in Southern California. How long did it take them to find out where to put a freaking football team? It's been decades.
Yeah, they got that all mixed up.
Yeah.
So it's April. These are, by the way, folks, Gouges is so lazy, he emails
these
me
these are the jokes, thoughts,
and then I write them down. It's April, where should you be in your club racing program at this
right.
point of the season? What are you talking about?
Oh,
we're already racing.
No, you're a crew chief. You've done professional level racing. You've helped club racers.
Yeah, we're racing already. You're in the racing part.
Right, so a few episodes ago I said, you know, racing is coming up.
Yes.
Where should you be? What should you be doing? As a club racer, you've probably got one or two races under your belt by now. What are the important things? Oh, little man, look at that tail go. He's got a black tail with a white tip on it. It's like a metronome.
Stay on target.
So where, as a club racer, what should you be doing now to move your program forward?
You've been on the racetrack racing already this year. You need to wash your fucking bike.
Okay.
And it's okay to use water.
It's a matter of opinion.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Your motorcycle is a street bike, and it can be ridden in the rain. And that's water.
Yes.
And it can be
washed. Well, not here in Southern California.
If you are washing your bike with something other than water and you have a clean bike,
yes.
That's fine. Okay? But you have a clean bike. So shut up. Because the people who don't wash their bikes are looking for any excuse to not wash it. Oh, I'm not washing it because you're not supposed to use water. That's just stupid. Okay, and those of you who are propagating that information are going to be crashing in the crap that falls off the bike in front of you that hasn't been washed.
I can't remember what bike I was looking at. Some classic bike was set for sale. I think it was a Honda RCV 1000. It's like a 1,000 miles, never been hit with a hose, it said.
Yeah. Listen, all of you think you got, oh yeah, I got a dirtier bike, it'll piss sore off. You got nothing.
You got
okay?
nothing.
Mike Kaufman, my partner at Sport Bike Hawaii,
right.
puts you all to shame. He had a filthy bike, and it's easy to have a dirty bike in Hawaii. It rains every night.
Right.
You drive on wet roads every damn day.
Absolutely.
You've got to lube the heck out of everything to keep it from rusting, yada,
right.
yada. So he never washed his bike.
Right.
So he had, and I forget what bike it was. It was some twin cylinder something, old bike. The bike he had when I first met him.
Okay.
So now he is going to get some other bike.
Okay.
It was a Honda Hawk that he got.
Okay.
And it's time to sell the old bike.
Right.
So he takes the bike in the wash bay, and he washes it with the pressure washer and the hot wax and all of that stuff, and the thing looks brand freaking new. And he goes, see, I left all that grime on there and it protected it all
exactly.
this time.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The only guy who could ever shut me up on the washing your bike thing. So you folks got nothing.
It was the protective layer of filth theory.
It worked in this case.
It's brilliant.
Okay, remember though, this guy used Armor All to stop his brakes from squeaking.
How did it work?
It stopped squeaking.
it was replaced by the screaming from pain from
it actually worked fine. He just put such a small amount on that it stopped the squeak somehow.
That's hysterical.
And we do not recommend this.
We highly do not. Exactly. Our lawyers are right now having a heart attack.
What does best bike first or second mean?
Oh, the race in Argentina, which, by the way, validated yet another one of my theories and expresses why I'm a genius, was that you need to have a different vehicle at the beginning and the end of the race to mix things up. So, turns out that if you read the post-race interviews, Valentino started on the bike that he liked best. Marquez started on the bike he liked the least.
So Michael's talking about the fact that the race had two parts
right.
because of the tire issue, so they had two bikes. So instead of making both bikes the same, you're proposing that it's better to make them different.
Well, no, the reality is that nobody seems to be able to make two bikes identical.
Oh, Marquez did.
No. He said his first bike was not as good as his second bike.
And you know, the different... Okay, so if you counted all the clickers and measured the spring weight and checked the oil,
all
of that stuff was the same.
Identical.
The difference that we're talking about here is a very small difference.
0.00.
That has
right.
probably most to do with how warm the tires were, how much feel the rider had on his second outlap.
Right.
Right? And then if you feel, it's not so good, well, that stays with you the whole race.
Right.
Right? If you feel, okay, it's good, and you put more heat in, blah, 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 it gets better. So that's going to be, what's the word, subjective.
Yeah, right? Very, very subjective.
Very subjective.
But it was really interesting.
But true. Even though not have data that backs it up, but it's real
absolutely.
Because
and
it's in the rider's feelings.
And there's one other variable that went along with that. As the race went on, more of the right kind of rubber went onto the track, everybody went faster in the second half of the race. It was just that the differences...
Everybody went faster in the second half of the race for any number of reasons. And not everybody. Rossi went slower.
No. He actually went faster.
At one point, but not for the total. I bet you if you look at his total 10 laps, he was faster in the first one.
The analysis that I read said that he sped up, but not everybody sped up by the same amount. Marquez was demonstrably faster. The Ducatis were significantly faster.
But besides there being more rubber down, right? There's also more confidence in the rider, and the track was drier.
You can't say
it's because of one thing.
I can say it.
Okay, racing an old bike. What's that?
I have no idea.
This is your note. Racing an old bike.
Racing an old bike.
We'll have to come back to that. Three-cylinder 600/450. Pause, folks. If you have an R6 and you have disabled a cylinder, you should fast forward a few minutes. Because you're not going to like what we're going to have to say. I don't even know what he's going to say. I know you're not going to like it. Fair warning.
Ed's going to call you names. He's going to call you...
What the fuck? I know who thought of that.
He's going to call your dog names.
You know what? The Circuit of Wales is less stupid because it's not happening.
And the idea was
to find a class that you could win in so you could get a fucking trophy.
No, you could
because you couldn't win in whatever other class where the bikes already existed. It's kind of like turning an SV650 into a 500, Michael Gouges.
That was genius. That was genius.
That was genius sissy is what that was.
That was 4 years of lap record setting performance with one valve job. For a club racer, that was flipping genius. You know, hey, it's about money.
You were doing too many valve jobs on your other bike. Is that what that means?
No, what it meant was I've seen those people blow up SV motors over and over and over again. Couldn't afford to do that.
Okay, so folks, if you happen to be a track you don't know about this, and you see an R6 going really slow and racing against like 550 singles, and you wonder what the hell, and then you check the bike out, you hear it sounds funny.
Right.
It's because they disable one cylinder, yep. So it becomes a 450, and then they can race in whatever other class.
Right. That's
the people, in fairness, all the people that I've seen who have done this, which is a handful, they all look super happy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Because you're never.
Maybe there's something to it.
And it's the same reason you give me shit about the 500, but the fact is that you never have to rebuild the bottom end of it.
Yeah, but making you never happy is like totally in a different scale of everything.
It needs
what
to
about
be
Naomi?
What needs to be what happens, what people need to do. People need to get up in the morning and think, what can I do to make Michael Gouges happy? And this is, by the way, did we even
How's
mention...
How's that working for you?
Did we even mention who we were?
No, you're Michael Gouges. He said, take pictures and have a blog spot.
I did really nice. I had motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. There's another nice essay, I think, about Moto2. That's up there today. And he's Ed Sorbo from Linjeman Engineering. And
you can find me on the web at le-suspension.com.
Right.
And sadly, when you're listening to this, it's already too late for you to rush down to Douglas Motorcycles.
Right.
And sit in on one of my suspension seminars, which I'm doing here. They're having a demo day.
Right.
And you can come down and ride motorcycles and do suspension seminars, and they got some other activities.
They got training
folks here, that kind of stuff.
It's kind of nice.
What about Naomi?
I know. We talk about her all the time.
Who?
She was from the electric company. Ed, try to keep up. I sent you a link.
This was a long time ago.
Ugh.
Hey, you guys! Was that
Skip
the electric company?
That's the one. Skip it. Go on. Next.
Okay. Riding styles on M is loose better. So Marquez is
right.
M.
Is loose better.
For Marquez it is.
Yes. Is that now? Oh, that's what I was going to say. How much time we got? Hang on, let me look.
We got to keep this to 20 minutes.
Right, what do we got?
It says...
Who was that guy that came over?
18. That was Art checking on us.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Who's Art?
Art's the owner here.
Ah, okay. What is
Art? He saw
Art?
My sign that says, quiet,
Mark,
please.
Mark Mothersbaugh. Art is what goes with the... is what matches the couch. Mark was from...
Anyway, it's time for the two-minute board.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back to that one next time. Little man fooled me last... Yeah, how you doing, buddy? Little man's my dog. Little man fooled me last night and got food out of it. I'm watching racing because it's all I ever do. Last night in front of the TV. And
sometimes you send podcast ideas.
Yeah, but they're all about racing.
Yes.
What was I going to say? Oh, and he starts barking. And he's like pointing at the front door, right? And so I'm like, good boy, let me know that there's somebody out front. I open the gate that I have to keep him from getting to the cat food. He charges out to the front door, sits, and starts barking. Good boy, pat him on the head. Go out the front door. I close the door behind me to make sure he doesn't get out. I look all around the front of the house. Nobody's there. I go back. Go back in the house, lock the door behind me. Where the hell's the dog? I look and the gate's open, and I'm like, son of a bitch is in there eating the cat food. He fooled me into going out front to get access to the cat food.
That's pretty good.
That was not bad.
But there's only one problem.
Which is?
It's cat food, and he's a dog.
He loves cat food.
He may love cat food, takes away some of the smarts here.
No.
Besides which, how hard is it to fool Michael Gugis?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. And this...
answer to that question.
There is absolutely not. There is a... But it goes to this the more serious idea that that is related to this. He's a dog. He thinks about one thing all day long, which is how to get to the cat food.
I think this is another example.
It's focus.
Look, it's my kid. He's a genius, right?
No,
all parents will tell you how smart their kids are.
No, this has to do. There's a broader concept here, Ed. Just hang on. The broader concept here is that he is not distracted with contract negotiations. He's not
He's not going to get $18 million either.
He's not distracted with Umbrella Girls or this or that. All the other. All he's thinking about is food.
Yeah, but if he can get the Umbrella Girl to give him food,
it would not be bad. He's not chasing bitches. Get it? Dog, bitches.
Yeah,
thank you. The purpose here, okay, the idea here is that you focus. If you focus, and even with the small dog brain that he has, he can figure out a way to get to the cat food.
Yep.
And I could not be more proud of him. Okay. He's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha.